What a great song. Oh. His amazing grace. What would we do without it? His grace and the cross. I think the cross is what we all have in common. For those of you who know the Lord. But when I think about the cross, before I was a Christian, it wasn't a pretty picture to me. I saw a place of torture, a place of shame, a sad picture, a picture of cruelty, suffering. That's what would come to my mind when I thought about the cross. Until that day when the Lord opened my eyes to the treasures of the cross. And what I want to share with you in this session is a culmination of what God's word has revealed to me of the treasures bestowed at you and I at the cross. I remember the day I gave my life to the Lord. I remember the time. It was July the 29th, 1968. A little town called Kirkby in Ashfield, Nottingham, England. It was on a Monday evening around 6 o'clock. Malcolm, my husband of 10 months, we came to have tea with the pastor in his office. He began to share with Malcolm and I won't go into the whole story of how we actually got to that office, but we were searching for the answers to life, why we were here, and so here we are in this office, the big fire in the fireplace, nice hot cup of tea, teapot there with a tea cozy on, scones and beautiful cakes and all kinds of goodies. Excuse me. He began to share the scriptures with us. Now, he had a Bible, but I don't remember, you know, him turning to this, turning to that. He just began to unfold God's word to Malcolm and I. And as he shared the scriptures and explained what Jesus did on the cross, that afternoon, Malcolm and I knelt down in his office and gave our lives to the Lord. It was at a college of evangelism that this man had, and he had all these students there. Well, right after we got up off our knees, he had me go with a woman, and he had my husband go with her husband. And we went off into a little room, and she sat with me, and she began to share with me the benefits or the results of what had happened as I had given my life to Jesus. And she began to just share with me, and I was fixated, if you like, on every word she was saying. It was like she had my full attention. She told me that all my sins had been put away. And then she said, actually, as far as the east is from the west. And I remember thinking, wow, that's far. And then she said, and not only that, but your sins have been buried in the deepest of the oceans. And God has put a sign up to the devil that says, no fishing. And she said, they're gone. And he can't come back and say, well, what about this one? And dangle it in front of you. No, your sins are gone. And guess what? He doesn't even remember them again. Not only the buried, but he doesn't even remember your sins. And then she said, and your name has been written in God's book. When I think about all the books in the Bible, I think of God having this huge library. And you know how he wrote our names in the book this morning? He has a book of remembrance for all those who fear the Lord and talk about his name And as he writes in that book, he has a book, the Lamb's Book of Life. He has all these books. He has a book that he writes all the numbers of our tears. So in my mind's eye, she's telling me this. Your name's been written in God, in God's book. And I saw this huge book in my mind's eye with a big quill, you know, the big feather, the pen, and the big hand, God's writing, Carol Ann Wild. And it was written in red, in his blood. I'm thinking, oh, my name's written in God's book. He's got a book, and he's got my name in his book. And then she said, that's your reservation to get into heaven. Your name's in the book, so that's your reservation. And then she said, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will get into heaven. And then she said, and you know what? Now Jesus lives in you. Wow. And I felt him in me. I felt clean. I was just so naked before God, and so just I felt clean and washed, and that I was able to stand before God. I see, I knew I was a sinner, but now my sins have all been washed away, buried in the deepest of the oceans, and he's never going to remember them again. He's put up a sign that says, no fishing. So the enemy won't be able to come around and remind me. He's put my name in his book, and it's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so all these things, and I'm trying to get my head around it all. Now Christ lives in me. Wow. And he'll never leave you. Oh, and he'll never forsake you. Oh, so all this was just being put into my head, and it just was deposited in my heart. And I was in awe of everything she ever said to me. And then she said to me, you're a new creature. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ. And I think she may have even shown me this from the scriptures, because it had such an impact on my heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I felt new. I felt clean. Now, she shared lots of other things, but I think that was enough for me. I couldn't handle any more. They were the one things that just stuck out in my mind. And that evening, 43 years ago, this past July, our lives took on a drastic turn. It was an incredible. As we drove home, we were so convinced that if we crashed in our car, we would get to go to heaven. That was an amazing thought for both of us. But we both felt clean. I mean, we were both like two little kids. And we were so excited. We'd found the answer. We'd found the answer in Jesus. We had a new start, a new life. We've been born again. We didn't understand all of it, but what we did understand, we just held on to it. We held on to it. We'd only just begun to learn the treasure of the cross and all that Jesus did for us. We were just beginning to taste some of those treasures. Results of the cross. But you know, results are something we all know about. We work hard, don't we, to get results. If we give time and hard work to study, maybe for a degree, the results are we probably earn more money, more opportunities, and get a better job. If we give time and hard work to exercise, the results would be, you know, we'd be healthier, fitter, probably look better, our clothes would fit better. Maybe we'd even live longer. If we work hard at eating, we all work hard at eating. Some of us harder than, you know, more than others. But if we work hard at eating healthy, The results are we'll have more energy, we'll look better, and we probably won't be going to the doctors so much. But you know what? The results we get from the cross are not at all like those. First of all, we do nothing. It's all been done for us. It costs us nothing, and the results are eternal. More valuable than any earthly thing, and available only because Jesus died on the cross. He did all the work, and by faith, we reap all the benefits. As a result of the cross, we can have forgiveness, cleansing, and freedom from guilt. Those first few years after Malcolm and I gave our lives to the Lord were filled with so many changes that came into our life. And I remember, as I would read God's word, I remember coming across scriptures the day that I'd given my life to the Lord. You know, I didn't really know they were in here. I just thought she was telling me all these wonderful things because of what Jesus had done on the cross. I had no idea I would find them as I read God's word. My sins being removed as far as the east is from the west. There it was in God's word. Psalm 103 verse 12. Oh, I know that. Did you ever wonder why it says as far as the east is from the west instead of as far as the north is from the south? I did. Well, if you start at the North Pole and head south, there is a point that you start going south and then you start going north again. And so it's a measurable distance. But if you start heading east and you never stop going east, and you keep going east, you never ever reach west. Do you get that? That is unfathomable to me. You just keep going east. You never reach west. So it's an, you just cannot measure that. So as far as the east is from the west, it's an immeasurable amount. It's immeasurable. He's removed our sins that far. Wow. That's a result of the cross for you and for me. And then I came across Micah, chapter 7, verse 19. He will have compassion on us. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Wow. I remember that lady telling me that. She told me that my sins would be cast into the sea. Now, I remember thinking, wow, it didn't say no fishing. She must have just added that. I heard later that was something from Corrie ten Boom. Then I came across Jeremiah 31:34. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. You know, just to have that assurance from God's word that my sins truly have been washed away, buried in the deepest of the oceans, never to be remembered. It was like, when I read it, it's like I got saved all over again. As a result of the cross, we escape judgment. We escape the judgment we deserve only as a result of the cross. We have peace with God. You and I have been reconciled to God. We're no longer at war. It's like we've put up the white flag. I surrender. I surrender. Colossians 1:20. Once we were an enemy. Now we're a friend. And it's only by the cleansing blood of Jesus can you and I have that relationship with the Holy God. He has made us clean. He's able to present me and you holy, clean, blameless, above reproach in his sight, Colossians 1:22. We were once a sinner, now we're a saint. We were once bound, and now we've been set free. We were once a stranger, now you and I are his child. We were once broken, but now he's made us whole. And he's qualified you and I to be a partaker of his inheritance, all that he has given to you and I. It's not like an earthly inheritance, but his inheritance is undefiled and it fades not away. 1 Peter 1:3. Because of the cross, God's plan has made a way where there was no way. You and I could never have stood before a holy God. Now we've been washed, forgiven. We have access into his throne room anytime, anywhere. Another result or a benefit of the cross is that we have a home that is being prepared right now for you and for me. Jesus, talking to his disciples before he went to the cross, says in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Wow. Jesus is going home to his Father to prepare a place for you and for me. And you know what? There's going to be plenty of room for all of us. I can't, you know that song, "I can only imagine what it will be." I can only imagine what heaven will be like, but I know there'll be room for all of us. Every week after church, I make a mad dash. It's crazy, but I've done it for as many years as I can remember. I make a mad dash to get home to prepare lunch for my family. Most of them, well, they're all there at church, and we have two services, so I kind of got it down where I can, and I only live 6 minutes away from church, so I can actually be at two services, not at the same time, but... So I lay out the table, I get the veggies done, because we have a real huge meal, usually lamb. Lamb is what I cook, and I can put that in the oven, and it's cooking while we're at church. And then I prepare all the vegetables the night before, get them all on the stove, set the table, table's all laid out, knives, forks, spoons, glasses, and everything gets ready. So after second service, and everybody's just beginning to leave, I can dash home, put on the gravy, put on the vegetables, and so the meat's almost cooked. Yorkshire puddings are in the oven. And just as they're about to rise, usually, you know, the kids start coming in. There's 12 of them. And so I have, you know, my kids, I have three kids. One's in New York, but I have two in Florida. And then I have 9 grandchildren altogether, and 6 of them are living in Florida. So table set, I have to put 2 tables, 1 for the teenagers. We have 4 teenagers, and 2 are usually at the little breakfast counter, and then the 6 of us are at the dining table. So everything's ready for them just to walk in the door. And I just, you know, I want that, like, I'm waiting for them, and I'm anticipating them to come, because I want to bless them, and I want to let them know that, hey, come on in, it's home, you're welcome here. And that's how Jesus feels as he was going home to prepare a place for you and for me. He wants us to know that we'll be welcome when we get to heaven. And I just love to have that thought in my mind that when I stand before him, he'll welcome me in, he'd have everything ready, waiting for me. And so it's just a beautiful thought to think about that. But that's one of the benefits of the cross. So not only do we have our reservations, but he's preparing a place for you and for me. Not in my wildest dreams could I have ever dreamed how much I was having the treasures, the benefits, the results of what Jesus did on the cross for me when I first gave my life to him. If there were no other benefits or other results of the cross than just having the hope that one day we get to be with Jesus, then that would be sufficient in itself. But there is more. We've been reconciled to God, 2 Corinthians 5:18. We're citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20. We have eternal life, John 5:24 and 1 John 5:11 through 13. We've been made alive with Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. We've been chosen, Ephesians 1:4. We've been justified, Romans 4:25. Galatians 2:16. We're seated with him in heavenly places, Romans 6:3 through 6. We are called his child, his beloved, his daughter. We've been adopted. You and I have been adopted. Isn't that incredible? You and I are daughters of the King. Think about that. I mean, I can go off on that because I grew up in England where we have kings and queens. I know all about that. My sister lives in London. We can see the flag on the rooftop of Buckingham Palace. And she'll look out and say, oh, the Queen's in residence today. Or, oh, the Queen's not in. They put up a different flag when she's not there. And when she's there, there's a flag that says she's in residence in the palace. You probably all know, probably as much as I do, about the royal family. We just had a wonderful wedding, didn't we? Were you interested in that? I'm sure you all were. And I was in England right after the wedding, and the streets were still lined with the Union Jack. And just it was just incredible. And everybody was talking about it still. All the souvenirs were still in the stores. But when I was growing up, I used to think a lot about kings and queens. And, you know, we would have different things at the school where maybe the queen would be at a hospital or opening a hospital. And the schools would all turn out that day with the little flags. And I remember seeing the carriage go by and a car go by and seeing the Duke of Edinburgh and the queen and, you know, doing the little wave. But also, I used to have this thing as a little girl growing up. I love to hear Karen's stories of her being a little girl and thinking all those things that she thought. Well, when I was a little girl, I used to think this. My sister and I would make a tea on a Sunday afternoon. And our half-brother would come on a Sunday afternoon. Mom and Dad would take a nap in the afternoon, and we would prepare the table. And then so we'd have everything set, the cups, the saucers, the plates, and the whole thing, the scones, the little cookies, and the tea. And we would sit there, and our pinkies would come out. Would you please pass? And we had our manners going and our sitting there and our best behavior, because the Queen's watching. I used to have this stupid thought. Somewhere in my house, the Queen was watching. I don't even know if my sister did. I don't think she did. But somewhere, and this is way before those cameras used to be hidden, candid camera, and that somewhere in my house, in the ceiling, there was a little camera, and she was watching. So we had to be on, and we would say, oh, the Queen's watching. You know, just this whole thing going. And, you know, it just used to stick, it stuck in my mind for many, many years, because we used to do it every Sunday for as long as I can remember. Well, can you imagine when I gave my life to the Lord and he came to live in me? He was always thinking about me. He would never leave me nor forsake me. It wasn't the Queen of England who was looking at me. It was the King of Kings. So how much more should I be on my best behavior? That's what came into my mind. So one of the results is just knowing that the Lord is always with us. Not so, you know, he can hit us over the head when we mess up, but he loves us so much he can't stop from thinking about us. And so remember when I said that that lady had told me that, just knowing that Christ lived within me, it was one of the things that was a key, if you like, that helped me to know how to walk. I used to think, well, my husband and I used to go to, we used to call them pubs, they're still pubs, but they're bars, and there's dancing and the whole deal. And I dressed in a very provocative way. I used to think I had a great figure, so I wanted to show everybody it. And so I remember thinking, okay, if Christ lives in me, ooh. And I didn't want to do those things. I didn't want to go to those places. And I remember as it started to unfold, we would think these things like, you know what, I don't want to go there. We don't want to do that anymore. And our life really did take a drastic turnaround. And so it would cause me to think differently, the things I was going to say, things I was going to wear. And, you know, I've never forgotten that. And it's something that I will always take with me. And it helps me in so many areas, especially if I'm with my friends and all of a sudden there's someone missing and then the conversation starts to talk, you know, maybe about that person. I always try to picture that person there. And then I'm thinking, if the conversation's turning around and we're starting to talk, if she wasn't there, we wouldn't talk this way. And then I get a check and I don't want to talk about it. It's like, I don't want to do that. If I can't say what I'm, you know, saying in front of that person, then I shouldn't be saying it at all. So it's been a check, and it is a check in my relationship with the Lord, to know that He knows all about those words that we're saying. He knows it. He's right there with us. Psalm 139 is my all-time favorite psalm, and it tells you all about the Lord knowing everything about you and about me. Because of the cross, He has freed me from the chains of bondage that kept you and I on that road to destruction. You know, we don't have to do the things that we used to do. When we sing that song, you know, we've been set free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we don't have to be in bondage to sin because of what He's done on the cross. It's one of the benefits. It's one of the results. You and I have a purpose to our life. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. God has prepared good works that He wants us to walk in, Ephesians 2:10. I remember as I was doing this lesson, in the mail came something that I opened up, and it said this: enclosed is your new credit card with rewards welcomed at millions of locations. Your benefits and rewards begin as soon as you activate your card. To get started, call 1-800, etc. Earn rewards. You will earn 1 point for every $1 in purchases. Enjoy the benefits. Your new card has outstanding benefits like zero liability, fraud protection, complete online services, 24-hour toll-free service, and on and on and on. But you know what? You and I have the benefit of knowing God. And you know what? He doesn't waste anything that you and I go through. He has it all in His plan for you and I. And He knows all about us. And He has so many benefits for us. No matter what it is that we go through, and we will all go through difficulties this side of heaven, not one of us will be exempt from difficult circumstances. But we know the treasure that we can run to. Romans 8:28. He works all things together for good, doesn't He? He does. And we can stand on His word, on His promises, because of the cross and all that He has done for us. Because of the cross, He's broken the power of sin over our lives. Sin no longer has to have dominion over us. We've been set free. We don't have to go back to that old way of life. As a result of the cross, we've been delivered. We've been given new life. But it doesn't even stop there. He provides all that we need to live a life that's pleasing to him. 2 Peter 1:3. Jesus left, but he didn't leave us on our own. He sent the Holy Spirit. We have his divine power, John 14:26. We have the Holy Spirit in us, leading us, guiding us. With a new life that you and I have in Christ, as a result of the cross, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It was after Jesus left that he went and sat at the right hand of the Father that the disciples were baptized into the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit is available to you and I. And I'm sure we'll hear much about the Holy Spirit. Also, we have hope. Ladies, we have hope. In this world, there is no hope. But we have hope. We have hope. And we cannot forget that it's only because of the cross and all that Jesus has accomplished for you and for me. We have a living hope. We have eternal life. One day we know that we will get to be with Jesus for all eternity. And it's that hope that gets us through this life, through the struggles and the difficulties here. The hope that one day we'll get to see him face to face and spend eternity with him. I know when I say spend eternity, you think of something that can be used up. We'll never spend eternity. We'll live in eternity. So whenever I say that, I always think, oh, I shouldn't use that spend, because it's never ending. But we'll go on and on and on. For eternity, we will be with him. I want to close with a story I heard of a man who owned a lot of paintings. Now, some of you might have heard this story from Ravi Zacharias. He said it on his radio show one time, and it just really spoke to my heart. He said, I heard of a man who owned a lot of paintings, a very wealthy man who had a son. The son used to go into the city streets, and he would often talk to a beggar. The beggar took a liking to this young man, and one day he gave this young man a portrait he'd painted of him. So the young man took it to his father, who was an art connoisseur. And the father thought to himself, well, it's not a very good painting, but we'll hang it up in the gallery because it's supposed to be, you know, of my son. Well, many years went by and the young lad stopped visiting the beggar. The beggar finally went to the gates of a palace and he says, I don't see that young man anymore. And the palace guard says, well, he died very suddenly. The beggar was unhappy to hear that news, and he said, well, can I see his father? And said, yes. The beggar said to the father, I've done another painting, a picture of your son, just like the other one, and I want you to have it. So he gave it to the father, and of course, the father hung the painting up beside the other one. Not long afterwards, the father suddenly passed away too. The beggar heard about it, and he also heard that all the art in the palace was going to be auctioned. So he asked if he could go in. The auctioneer came and he saw all the paintings on the wall and the connoisseurs were all there waiting for the bidding to start. Well, in the middle of the collection were hanging the two paintings of his son done by the beggar, and they weren't very good at all. The auctioneer says, well, we're just getting ready to have the auction, but first of all, before we start the whole auction and the bidding, we are going to do the one of the young lad here. We're going to auction these off. So, and then we'll proceed with the rest. There was a loud groan from the audience. They weren't interested in these two paintings. But the auctioneer said, no, this is what we are going to do. So the auctioneer began and he, you know, said, who'll bid this? Well, nobody wanted them, so nobody was bidding on them. Well, the beggar put his hand in his pocket and took out a handful of pennies. And he said, I want to bid on the young man's paintings. And so the gavel was sounded, and the beggar got the two paintings. And as the beggar was about to take those two paintings, The gavel sounded again, and the auctioneer said, "I have some news for you. Behind the paintings of this young man are the words, 'Whoever bids on these gets the whole gallery.'" Those who got the son got everything that the father had to give. And isn't that the way the father is with us? His son died on the cross. The world looks on and still looks at the cross without understanding its value, just like I did so long ago. But to the one who gives his life, to the man who died on that cross, the Father gives every treasure in heaven, all the benefits, all the inheritance as a free gift. He's left us his word, such a treasure, such a treasure. Now I see the cross as a place of beauty, even though there is nothing beautiful to look at. It's a place that shows me compassion, grace, mercy, forgiveness, acceptance, love, victory. It's the beauty of all that was accomplished on the cross for you and for me. Everything that we have because of the cross. Do you see the treasure more than anything that the world has to offer? All the benefits God has for you and for me, and all because of the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. When we consider all that we have, and Lord, there is so much more. So much more. Lord, as we read your word, as we apply your word, may we just see the incredible treasure that is there. We thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the love that we see when we look at the cross. Thank you for the new life we have. Thank you for the victory that we can live in this dark world. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.